true Thanksgiving does not start after something good happens. We were taught formally, right, to say thank you when someone gives you a present or a gift, but true Thanksgiving starts before the gift is given, not after. You remember when Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house when Lazarus had died and was laying in the tomb for 4 days? He looked up into heaven and his prayer starts with this, I thank thee, O Father. Thanksgiving is part of the most intimate relationship between God and man.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We all know it is easy to be thankful when everything is going well, but to have a spirit of gratitude in the midst of problems, well, that's a different story altogether. Today, Pastor Wayne talks about the gift of true thanksgiving. It's a gift we give to God, and He in turn multiplies it back to us. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Gift of True Thanksgiving.
Today we're going to talk about the gift of true thanksgiving. And I add that in, true thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is not just a response of thanks when something goes your way or you're granted a favor. No, it's not some perfunctory thank you when your mother grabs your ear and says, what do you say? What do you say? You see, true thanksgiving is not an outside formality. It's an inside reality. It's not a reach point where it's at the end of your reach. Say thank you. It's really the starting point. It's your default. True thanksgiving is a default, and it's not something done for you. It's something done inside of you. Sort of like the story of a man that was being interviewed, and he was a successful restaurateur, owned many restaurants, and the interviewer turned to him and said, when did you know that you were successful? I mean, was it after the second restaurant or the fifth restaurant or 10th? His answer was, no, I was successful before I even had a penny in my pocket. He said, you see, success starts inside of you, long before you notice it on the outside. See, thanksgiving has to be an inside job. That's where true thanksgiving is. It's an attitude. It's a perspective. It's your default. It's not just a response to a favor. So let me start with a question. How would you rank yourself as a person being known for being thankful no matter what? You see, perhaps you or someone else, maybe you lost your job during the pandemic, and maybe you lost your income as the economy tanked and continues its struggle. Maybe you lost your health or even a loved one. Such circumstances can be horrendously difficult. But let me tell you a story of a man who had every right to complain and be bitter, to give up, to bail out, but he didn't. With every footstep that was coming his way, he knew it was most probably those of the guards that are about to escort him to his execution. His only bed was the cold stone floor of a cramped prison cell. He was never free from the chains or the pain of those chains cutting into his wrist and his legs. He was unjustly accused by his countrymen, separated from his family, brutally beaten. I mean, if there were ever a person that had a right to complain and be upset and angry, it was a man that was languishing in a harsh Roman prison. But instead of complaints, his cell rang with sounds of thanksgiving. This man was no other than the Apostle Paul, a man who had learned the meaning of true thanksgiving. For true thanksgiving is only found in the midst of true adversity. The Bible says, at about midnight, Paul was heard praying and singing hymns to God. And it must have been loud enough because it says that everyone in the cells around him, the other prisoners, were listening. Again, when in prison, Paul would write, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it. Always giving thanks for everything, no matter what the circumstances. Unlike us, Thanksgiving for Paul wasn't a once-a-year celebration. No, It became a daily practice. And it marked his life, changed his outlook. Thanksgiving, or the giving of thanks, is our intentional outlook. Intentional outlook. No matter what it looks like, our choice to see things that recognizes God for sovereignty and safekeeping. Not necessarily for our comfort, our convenience, but for His safekeeping, His sovereignty, His plan, and we're in the midst of that, regardless of the circumstances. This should be one of the most distinctive marks of a believer of Jesus Christ. I think you'd agree with me that isn't it so easy to allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts until a sense of entitlement pervades us? And instead of being thankful, we think we're owed what we got. And we actually should have more. But from one end of the Bible to the other, we're commanded to be thankful in whatever circumstances we're in. Before we see favor, before we see advantage, before we see our prayers answered, 30 times in the book of Psalms, we're instructed to give thanks, not due to any favorable circumstance, but in the midst of dire straits. David wrote an almost cryptic phrase in Psalms, and this is what it says. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, and because He's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. What a great psalm. The phrase, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, it sort of reminds me of a game that we used to play called Pixie Sticks, where you drop a handful of pixie sticks that are like toothpicks, long toothpicks, and then they would fall in a disarray, and then you had to pick every single one up without moving the others. Now, when you dropped them, it was like a scattered mess, just strewn toothpicks. But it's here that David says, even when my life looks like pixie sticks, I will bless the Lord. I will be thankful. And wherever they've fallen, they fall into me in pleasant places. Here's the word he uses, pleasant places. Were they always really pleasant? No. If you think about David, he was being chased by a murderous and jealous Saul. He was hunted by the Philistines as well as other enemies. His wife, Michal, was given to another soldier in his absence, and when he returned, she despised him until her death. His life seems to fall apart at the seams, yet he writes, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. In other words, this is what David was saying. He says, doesn't matter what it looks like, I am satisfied with the way that God is treating me in this season, and I give thanks. Did you catch that? I'm satisfied with the way God is treating me in this season of my life, and I will give thanks. You see, true thanksgiving is recognizing the safekeeping of God in times of adversity. If you think about it this way, the first Thanksgiving wasn't celebrated when people were on a high. No, it wasn't when they had a victorious year. It was celebrated by pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower, and in 1621, over half of the people had not survived the first winter. Yet instead of being bitter about those who perished, they chose to thank God for those who survived and for the Indians who helped them. You see, true thanksgiving is when there's more to complain about, but we choose to look for what we can be thankful for. I remember when Anna and I bought our first house. I mean, it was like one of those original tiny houses. It was 760 square feet. It was old and very small, but it was all we could afford. But I remember we made it a practice, and when we would arrive home after we had traveled or after a day at work or whatever, we would say to each other, what a beautiful house we have. Even if it didn't look that way and we didn't always feel that way. But we nevertheless would say, what a beautiful house. It was just a practice. We had to practice it. Now, since then, we've been blessed to have bought and sold several houses, and our house now is far grander than we deserve. But you don't want to wait until you find that perfect home to give thanks. Start it early. Start it on the inside, regardless of the outside. Because thankfulness is a part of the inside, not just a part of the outside. So that's where it has to start. Remember when the prophet Daniel learned that evil men were plotting against him to destroy him? The Bible says he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Did you catch that? He had learned true thankfulness, and true thankfulness had become a daily practice, not a once in a year celebration, a daily practice. And when the pixie sticks dropped and when the roof fell in, he had already learned true thankfulness because he practiced it. And God was about to reward him. If we don't learn and practice true thanksgiving now, when there's nothing there, then when God gives you more, you'll still be dissatisfied. It's not the amount of possessions, it's the amount of heart within those possessions, whether it's big or small. You got to start to practice true thanksgiving. Paul the Apostle would later write, he'd say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Listen, nothing will do more to restore the kind of peace that will have the power to guard your heart and your mind than a true spirit of thankfulness. Do you remember that it was at the Last Supper when Jesus was facing his executioners that instead of griping, he took bread and, you remember? Gave thanks. Said, even as my body's about to be broken. And then he predicted that his blood would be spilled, so he took a cup and instead of grumbling, he gave thanks. The peace of God, which surpassed all understanding, would guard his heart and his mind. Do you remember when Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house when Lazarus had died and was laying in the tomb for 4 days? He looked up into heaven and his prayer starts with this, I thank thee, O Father. Thanksgiving is part of the most intimate relationship between God and man. But let me encourage you that true thanksgiving does not start after something good happens. I mean, we were taught formally, right, to say thank you when someone gives you a present or a gift, but true thanksgiving starts before the gift is given, not after. Let me tell you about a story in the Bible. In the biblical world, leprosy was a devastating disease. Not only did it disfigure those who had it, it cut them off from their family and their society. And without exception, every leper yearned for one thing, was that to be healed. One day, not one, but 10 lepers approached Jesus. And they're outside the village. And because they had to stay a distance away from him, they began loudly pleading with him to heal them. We've all read that in Luke 17, but you may have missed the most important part. He says this, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Did you notice something interesting? You may have missed it. When were they healed? Instantly? Nope. We find these words, as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, Jesus left them still full of leprosy And he said, now go, show yourself to the priest, or the health inspectors of that day. Go show yourself to the priest for a confirmation. I mean, if you're full of leprosy and he says, now go show yourself to the priest about your healing, you go, I ain't healed. I'm not going to do that. But yet they did. There was none at that moment a healing. Nothing got healed. Nothing. But the Bible says, as they complied with Jesus, with no evidence of any healing, as they complied, even in their sickness, as they complied, even with leprosy and disfigurement, as they went, they were healed. You know, many times for us, healing will happen along the way, not before. Obedience that only comes after a result is not a long-term obedience. Sometimes you pray for finances and Jesus will say, got it, but nothing changes. You still have to put in applications for a job or find odd jobs somewhere. But as you go, healing will happen. See, sometimes we wait for the conclusion, we wait for the result, and then we say, thank you. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks and you pray, God, help. God says, got it. But you still have to go home and still get, when you do, you still get that cold shoulder. But you keep following, you keep believing. Healing's on its way. But don't bail out of what God's asked you to do and forfeit the miracle. You see, obedience precedes healing. It doesn't follow it. It's easy to obey when everything is going good. It's easy to say thank you when you've been given some big gift. Try it, though, before. And that's what the 10 lepers story is all about. Now, let's go back to the scene in Jerusalem. After they saw that they were healed, one of them, not 10, one of them came back praising God, the Bible says, in a loud voice. He must have been so thrilled. And then he throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, the Bible says. And Jesus asked him, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. That word well is actually the word for being made whole or made complete. Your healing is complete. It's interesting. I'm wondering about the other 9. Their healing was half done and they didn't complete it. I'm wondering if it came back. I don't know. But he said to this one, your healing is complete. It's so interesting. True thanksgiving happens before as well as after. Because here, not only did the servant obey without any evidence of being healed, he recognizes the source of his healing and gives thanks. The real kicker is what Jesus says. He says, rise and go, your faith has made you whole, or your healing is now complete. This man, I bet, not only received healing for his physical body, but I bet he had something in his life that needed to be made whole. So his faith is about to be that thing that would sustain his healing and sustain his life. Something greater than just a physical healing. He was made complete. There was a whole complete healing. There wasn't just a physical one, but a spiritual one, which often is far more important. I mean, you think about it. How many of us have received a financial settlement or been healed of a devastating illness only later to fall into an addiction or lose their marriage or lose it all due to some devastating sin? And I think, wait a minute, you just got healed of this and now you fall to that. This man that got healed came back with faith and the Lord said, your healing is whole and complete. Something happened that made the man not just physically well, but whole. And it was thanksgiving. True thanksgiving. Prior to post-healing, the man had an attitude of gratitude. That's what would make him whole. That's what true thanksgiving does. It makes us whole. few years ago, I was in a car with a man who was very successful and very rich. He had everything you could ever think of. He was the envy of all of his business partners. But the more we spoke about stuff going on the inside, he began to weep. He confessed that although on the outside everything seemed great, he was miserable on the inside. Wealth and success had not been able to fill the empty places in his heart. But then on another occasion, I visited another man as we sat with his family of five, and they lived in a humble little country setting. His house was small, and he almost had nothing in the way of worldly possessions. And by the way, his dinner table, I think it was a picnic bench that they just moved inside the kitchen area. Yet his face was radiant as he told me about his church and his involvement and how God had filled their lives with joy and gladness. And when it was all done, I was convinced that the second man was really the successful and rich man. The second man was the one that had the greatest wealth. Although he didn't have much in the way of possessions, he had learned to be truly thankful for everything God had given to him. Here's a question. Are you constantly preoccupied with what you do not have? Or have you learned to thank God for what you do have? The Bible commands us give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know what trials you may be facing right now, but God does. He loves you. And He is with you. Cultivate a spirit of true thankfulness. Even in the midst of trials, before God rewards, before God heals, in the midst of the headaches, before God brings wholeness, be thankful. See, this month we set aside a special day for Thanksgiving. I know it's been diluted into a day of frivolity, food, and football. But for the Christian, let's make it a day of true thanksgiving. Make it a prayer time at your home. Can I encourage you this year, let's have home church on Thanksgiving. That's right. Let's just have home churches. Let's do this. Go around the room and as we practice true thanksgiving, have everyone share something before you eat. And don't just share something that's made your life more convenient, but something that you're thankful for that's important to God's wholeness or completeness for your life. Maybe be thankful for a tough season that's about to make you better, or a barren season that'll make you stronger, or a thorn in the flesh like Paul had that kept him honest and accountable. We can be thankful for a lot of stuff in the midst of affliction, can't we? Then remember, every day can be a day of thanksgiving. As we are instructed in the Bible, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. He says, in everything, not always for everything maybe, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. The circumstance? No. The will of God is that you be thankful, because that's an inside job. And if we're waiting for the outside to push us, nudge us to thanksgiving, then it's not really true thanksgiving. It's just being happy about what happened. True thanksgiving happens when, regardless of the circumstance, I have a predisposition of thankfulness because God is still in control no matter what. But finally, never forget that God has given to you and me the greatest gift of all, His only begotten Son, who died on the cross and rose again so that we can know Him personally and spend eternity with Him in heaven. All we need to do is reach out in faith and accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. For the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? If not, turn to Him today with a simple prayer of repentance and faith, and thank Him for what He has done for you. And for those who have already received Christ, here's a question. How long has it been since you thanked God for your salvation? Don't let a day go by without thanking God for His mercy and His grace to us in Christ Jesus.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Gift of True Thanksgiving by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for joining us. During this season of Thanksgiving, remember these words from Isaiah. And on that day, you will say, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known His deeds among the people, make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth." And from 1 Chronicles, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Until next time, God bless you and aloha.